please open to the book of Ephesians. It's a New Testament epistle written by the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 5. If you'd stand with me, please, for the reading of God's word in honor of the Lord. When I was praying about a message, because normally, as you know, I enjoy series preching, but during this six-week period where the kids are with us, the families are all together with us, done a little bit differently. They've been, I wouldn't say standalone, but it's been a loose theme. The first one, we had a treasure hunt, scavenger hunt, so people were looking for clues all over the building. And then the next week was the taste test, and so we had some taste testers up front. And today's message is entitled, What's the Pattern? And so Ephesians 5:17 says this, Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Could you read that with me? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Pastor Mark, you prayed once, so I'm not going to do it to you again, but your wife is good for prayer too, isn't she? Absolutely. Jerry, would you ask for God's blessing as the word goes forth? Amen. You may be seated. Yesterday, my wife and I attended the high school graduation from Cobleskill, Richmondville. We had a couple of our kids from the church that were graduating, and we wanted to be there to support them. Now, if you want to create an anxiety attack in a high school senior, not all of them, but some of them, ask them, so what are you going to do now that you graduated? And watch their reaction. Now, it's true, some high school seniors know exactly what they're going to do. They've already figured out a college they want to attend. They've already applied to the college. They've been accepted. They've chosen their major. They've even registered for classes. They're just waiting for the fall, having a great time over the summer. Some students have made the decision, hey, I want to serve my country, and they've already made preparations to go into the armed forces. Others have decided, you know what, I just want to make some money right now. I got a job lined up. So for them, when you ask the question, they can pop one to you. But you can tell if someone hasn't thought it through because they get the deer in the headlights look, followed by either nervous laughter or quivering fear. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. What are we going to do? What lies ahead? It's not just a question that high school seniors ask. I think it's a question all of us at one time or another ask. What is ahead, Lord? What is it you want me to do? Last Sunday, Jonathan was here for Father's Day, and after the service, he and I had a chance to go home together, chat, get some stuff for Ben's birthday, and we were talking about the fact he's going to be a college senior next year. I know. I'm still wrapping my mind around that one, too. And he has had a fun time at Roberts Wesleyan College in Rochester. He's a communications major with a concentration in Homeland Security. He's been an RA. He's been on the cross-country and track team. He's been in student government. He's done missions trip. It's been a great experience. But he said, wow, next year, I'm done. Then what? Now, because Jonathan is a Christian, it isn't just what do I want to do? It's what does the Lord want of me and for my life? You see, for those of us here who profess faith in Jesus Christ and take seriously the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And really, isn't that the issue? What is God's will? Or maybe better yet, not just what is God's will, how do I determine God's will for my life? Now, I've pastored over 30 years. And in that time, the question I get asked probably more than any other is, how do I know what God's will is for my life? It's a question that I want to tackle briefly this morning. Now, I say briefly because I could spend the next year talking about the will of God. And because we have all of our families together today, I don't want to do that. All I want to do is this, and I want to give you something to chew on. I want to give you one principle that I want you to take and begin to implement, integrate in your life and see if it helps you determine what the will of God is for your life. Now, it's been my practice in these integrated intergenerational services to include an illustration that brings home the point but draws everybody in. So I have one behind me on the board. You've probably seen these either on Facebook or in school, where the teacher puts up a certain number of numbers or symbols, and you have to try to figure out what symbol is missing. Now, I made the first few easy. They get a little bit tougher as we go along. I don't want you just to blurt out an answer if you know it, but I'd like you to take a look, and if you think you know what the next term is, could you raise your hand? Did you cheat? It's a pattern. Give them the pattern. What's the pattern? The pattern is this. You multiply the number by 3 and subtract 1. So 1 times 3 is 3, minus 1 is 2. 2 times 3 is 6, minus 1 is 5. 5 times 3 is 15, minus 1 is 14. Times 3 is 42, minus 1 is 41. Times 3 is 123, minus 1. There's a pattern. In fact, every one of these, all 10, had a pattern to them. Now, what would have happened if I had put something up there and the pattern didn't follow? You wouldn't be able to figure it out. Unless, of course, you're looking over your mom's shoulder, then you could do that. There is a pattern. And one of the things that you'll discover is that when it comes to the will of God, go back to that passage, that Ephesians 5 passage, one of the things that you'll notice is it says here, do not be unwise, okay? Don't be foolish or unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand. And what I've discovered, and I've been a Christian now for over 40 years, is that usually, in fact, more often than not, there is a pattern to God's will. It's not just haphazard. It's not just random. There is a pattern to it, a pattern in the Word and a pattern in your world. A pattern, what's the pattern? Look for the pattern in the Word and in your world. Let me show you what I mean. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, okay, I'm going to give a bunch of scriptures, and so then you'll eventually get to the one that's there, okay? The passage, because see, there's a pattern to this message. But if you go all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2, God created humanity in his image and in his likeness. Now, why did he do that? God was complete. God didn't need us in the sense of, God, I just can't make it through another day without a human being. God was complete, sufficient, sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing, all the omnis. He chose to create us because he wanted us. He wanted to share his love with us. He chose to do that because he wanted relationship with us. He wanted us to be in relationship with him, where he would shower his grace and mercy and truth, and we would reflect back to him. Well, that was his plan. Now, at least that's what Genesis 1:2 says. There's your red circle. There's your triangle. But if you keep going through the pattern of Scripture, what you'll discover is that same pattern continues. God continues to look for people. For example, in Genesis chapter 6, the whole world is evil. Their thoughts are continually evil. By the way, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I'd say we're getting close. But I digress. That's another sermon. The point is in Genesis 6, you have all this evil, but then it says, but Noah found favor in God's sight. God was looking for someone. When God wanted to establish a people, he said he found the rock Abraham. When Saul the king blew it, God started looking for a man after his own heart. He found David. And when you jump into the New Testament, what do we find? We see the same pattern repeating itself. It says in Luke 19:10 that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when you get all the way to the end of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 21, you see the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven like a bride, and you hear the voice of God saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. The pattern from Genesis to Revelation is the pattern that we see in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that God wants all to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants you and me in a relationship with himself. Now, when you look at your life, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as Savior, I'll bet you if you look back now, you will see that same pattern of God looking for you. Maybe you were brought to church as a child and you learned the stories about Jesus in Sunday school. Maybe you were traveling and you happened to open up the dresser drawer and there was a Gideon's Bible. Maybe you happened to find something on social media. Somewhere, somehow, if you look back, you'll see the same pattern in your life. God was after you. God wanted you for himself. And at some point, if you're here today and you know Jesus as Savior, he found you. And you were brought into a relationship with him. So my point is this. When I try to discern what the will of God is, one question I ask myself based upon the pattern in the Word and in my world is, does this help me develop my relationship with God through Jesus Christ? If that action doesn't draw me closer to Christ, then that action will not be the will of God for my life. Since the pattern is there, all I have to do when I get to the next phase of my life is this the place for the green square? Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, this is the will of God because this is going to help me develop my relationship with Christ. That's why when I get up in the morning and I go out and do my walk in prayer, it's not because I'm afraid if I don't, he's going to smack me. It's not because I do it because, well, it's ritual. It's a regular. I do it because I want to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do I grow in that relationship? I spend time with the Lord. And every night, I spend time in the Word. Why? Because the Word helps me grow. It is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. So I do these things as the will of God for my life. Because the pattern is there in the Word, the pattern is in my world, it helps me come to know more about Jesus. I don't do it to be acceptable, I do it because he wants a relationship with me and made a way through Jesus for me to be in a relationship with him. So that really helps sift through a lot of junk, simply asking the question, will this help me know Jesus more? That's just one pattern. How about this pattern? You go all the way back to Genesis again. Not only did God create Adam and Eve in his image and likeness to have a relationship with them, he created them to take dominion over the earth. In other words, to rule in his place. And in ruling in his place, they reflect back to God his image and his glory. Put another way, God not only wants a relationship with me through Christ, he wants to transform me to look like Christ in my character. And that pattern of God's call to me to become holy, to look like God, shows up again and again in Scripture. In the law, for example, the Torah, you go back to Leviticus, there's a lot of laws that talk about clean and unclean, what you could eat, what you couldn't eat, what you do and could do. But all of it tied into this one thing. God was saying, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. Holy. Go over to Romans chapter 12 and you'll see Paul saying the same thing. In view of God's mercies, offer your lives as a living sacrifice. Because he wants a relationship with you and made that relationship possible through Jesus, your response then is the next pattern. How can you be transformed to look more like Jesus? So Paul tells me, offer my life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. He goes on to say, stop being conformed or don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Pattern. Huh. There's a pattern that the world has, and there's a pattern that Christ has for me. God has for me through Christ. So I'm not to be squeezed into the world's mold or pattern. Instead, I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind so then I can know and test and approve what God's perfect will is. So as I face situations, I find out then that God's will, like 1 Thessalonians says, this is God's will that you should be sanctified. I can tell you, if you're here today and you're a Christian, I can tell you without question, the will of God is for you to look like Jesus. That God predestined you, Paul says in Romans 8, to look like Jesus. So the pattern in the Word, in fact, in Hebrews, it says that we are to pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews says that God has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, be perfect for I am, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So God's desire is to mold and transform you into the likeness of Christ. And as Pastor Tony told us a couple weeks ago, one of the ways he does that is by bringing you into a process where you deal with a problem. So you lay hold of the provision that God has, a promise, so that God can conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. So when you look at the pattern of the Word and the pattern in your world, my guess is in your world, there have been times when you did something you ought not to have done, and the Holy Spirit says, oh, Lord, forgive me, I am sorry. Why is the Holy Spirit doing that? Because that pattern of holiness is one that God wants to work into your life. So if you're doing something you ought not to, God lovingly, as a father, disciplines and trains you to make you holy. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. So as I face the trials, as I go through life, the question I ask is not only, how does this develop me in knowing Jesus better? The next question is this going to grow me up in Christ? Is this going to make me look more like Jesus if I choose this action? Well, that certainly makes it easier than getting legalistic about TV shows or social media or whatever. Does this make me look more like Christ? Will this make me look more like Jesus? That question will allow you to probably sift through about 80% of questions that you might have about the will of God. No, click. No, close up. It makes it very easy because does this draw me closer to Christ? Does this conform me to the image of Christ? Two questions. And I probably answer about 80% of the question about what's the will of God for my life. I read the scripture when I opened our service today. Be joyful always. Pray continually. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, because that's how Jesus was. Remember the old bracelets, what would Jesus do? In a sense, that's this question. What would Jesus do? Because God wants you to look like Jesus in your character. So would he go there? Would he do that? Would he have these friends? We're not talking legalism. We're talking, does this make me look more like Jesus? All right, a third pattern. You go back again, both in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Let's take the Old Covenant, for example. Genesis 12. God calls Abram to follow him. This is before his name was changed to Abraham. God calls Abram to follow him. He goes, I want you to go to a place I'm going to tell you. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you yet. I just want you to go, then I'll tell you. Be obedient. But then he gives them an incredible blessing. He says, I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. And do you know what follows that? And in thee shall all nations be blessed. God's intention was to bless you, not so you hoard the blessing, but to bless you so you become a blessing to those around you. Jesus said, freely have you received, freely give. All right? So God's intention is not just that you and Jesus have a sweet time till he comes back and takes you home. His plan is not just that you have a sweet time with Jesus, get to look like Jesus, and you become so much wanting to be like Jesus that you don't want to even be around anybody. No, he wants you to be a blessing and bear witness to the truth to the people that you meet. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples and through them to us, in your going, make disciples of all nations. We're called to be light. I was sharing with someone this week, and I did a wedding, Sam Kolishan's wedding yesterday, Sam and Megan, and we got to chatting and stuff, and I was talking about how I'm a substitute teacher in the schools. And I said, one of the reasons I do that is because in my office, it's very easy to only see Christians come in, and they go home to my Christian family. I probably even have a Christian dog. Heel! Sorry. Bad joke. I could go through an entire day almost and never meet a non-Christian. Unless, of course, I went to the store. I can't do that as a pastor. That's too isolating. So I get in with middle schoolers, and you want some raw people? Go substitute teach for middle schoolers at the end of the year. when they've already finished their tests. And you, yeah. You give me that smile, pal, because you're one of them. No, you're a good one there. I suffer her for science. But isn't it true? Don't you middle schoolers, at least your friends, don't they get squirrely this time of year? Yeah, they do. It's sort of like herding cats. But here's the thing. I get a chance to interact with them and to reflect Christ in my character. And if they ask questions, I had a young man who came to me in one of my classes in high school. He had just lost his grandma. Now, he knows I'm a pastor. He knows I'm a Christian. And he goes, I'm really sad. And we had a chance to process his grief from a biblical perspective because he raised the issue to me. See, these are the things God calls us to bear witness to truth, to bear witness to Christ. And that pattern you see in the Old Testament, blessed to bless, is there in the New Testament. Even Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles with his comfort, so that we might comfort others with the same comfort. Blessed to bless. So here's the deal. The third question you ask yourself, the first question is will this develop my relationship with Jesus so I know him better? Second question is, will this make me look more like Jesus in my character so I'm being holy? The third question is will this help others know Jesus better? Those three questions will pretty much solve most of the issues you have, about 90% of your question, what's the will of God for your life? But pastor, that's only 90%. I need the 100%. I need to know specifically, what's the will of God for my life? And my question is are you doing the first three questions? Because if you're not obedient to the light he gave you, why should he waste his time to give you more light? Just saying. So I would encourage you right now, if you're like, what is the will of God for my life? I just don't know. Why don't you just take a moment of reflection over the next few days and say, all right, Lord, is there anything in my life that is keeping me from knowing you better? Let's deal with that first. Is there anything that I'm doing that's hindering that? Is there anything I'm not doing that would enhance that? Let me start there, Jesus. That may take you all week. Then the next time, maybe next week, all right, Lord, is there anything I'm doing that's not moving me towards holiness? Is there anything that I ought to be doing that will move me towards holiness? All right, Lord, that took another week to figure out. And then the third question, Lord, is there anything that I'm doing that's hindering my witness to Jesus? Or is there anything that I can do that would enhance my witness to Jesus? Do those first. Make sure all those are where they need to be. And folks, you have the Holy Spirit to guide you. The Holy Spirit will direct you. If you're serious, remember, the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God will guide you. God will show you. But having done all that, is there one more pattern that would help me, Pastor? There is. One more pattern is this. Again, pattern in the Word, pattern in your world. And the pattern is this. When you go to the Scripture, what you will find is that God often will take your wiring and your experiences to weave together a life plan, a life goal, a calling that he has for you. Let me show you by example. When we first meet David, who later became king, what was David doing? Shepherding sheep. What else was he doing? Louder. What? Killing lions. Yes, lions and bears. Feeding sheep, killing lions and bears, what else? Playing music. Okay, as a child, he's out there unaware of anything beyond, I'm taking care of the sheep, I'm protecting them from their enemies, and I'm playing music. Now, when David gets a little older and King Saul starts going crazy with that demonic spirit, which one of those things, pattern-wise, does God use first? Music. Music that he was doing as a kid opened the door to get him into the courts. Once he's in the courts, what's the next thing he does? Kills Goliath the giant, protects the sheep from the enemies. And the next thing is he becomes shepherd of the sheep and becomes king. There is a pattern of preparation as a child that then gets utilized by God when it becomes a young adult and then an adult. How about the Apostle Peter? When we first meet Peter, before he's Peter, he's Simon, what's he doing? Bishop. When God calls him, Jesus calls him, what does Jesus say? Fishers of men. He's been fishing for a teen, maybe teenager, early 20s. He's been fishing since he was a kid. He understands fishing. You don't sit on the shore and go, come, fishy, 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 fishy. Come on, fishy, fishy, fishy. Come on, fishy, fishy, fishy. Hop into my church. Come on, fishy, fishy, fishy. You go where the fish are. Unless Jesus tells you to go where you don't think the fish are, and then you catch more fish. Because you follow Jesus. But he gets fishing. He understands after you fish with the nets, you got to mend the nets. There's a process involved. And what does Peter do? He fishes for people. Who is the one that broke the barrier to go to the Gentiles? Peter. Acts chapter 10. Philip went to the Samaritans, which were half Jews. Peter's the one that went fishing because Jesus told him through the vision, don't call unclean what I call clean. So Peter goes, okay, there's three guys here. Go with them. Don't ask any questions. Okay. Shows up at Cornelius' house, sees all these Gentiles. Now, he may have thought to himself, this isn't kosher. I really ought not to be here. But he doesn't. He goes in, he goes, hey, look, God told me to be here. I'm here. You know I'm not supposed to be here, but I'm here. Why am I here? And, well, we were told you were going to tell us something about good news. Really? All right, let me tell you about Jesus. And Peter doesn't even get a chance to finish his sermon, and the Spirit of God falls on all them, and now the gospel jumps from its Jewish wineskins to the Gentiles. And he opened up the door. Isn't Peter also the one at Pentecost that went fishing? And 3,000 came into the kingdom. He was fishing. He was fishing. How about Moses? You know, we think of Moses leading his people. Yeah, he was 80 when he started that. What did he do the first 80? Oh, I know. He got ready. Because God had a plan. And if you look at the pattern, Moses was schooled for 40 years in all the schooling of the Egyptians. All that they had, the good, the bad, and the ugly, he got it all. But he learned a ton. So he had a lot of intellectual knowledge, but he needed 40 years on the backside of the desert to get the spiritual knowledge to match the intellectual knowledge. You think about how hard it would be to lead 2 to 3 million Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness, wandering from place to place? And to have a keen memory to hear and remember all the details God gave him about the tabernacle down to the exact cubit size and all the sacrifices. He was prepped for that position. So that's the pattern in the Word. What about you? What's the pattern in your world? What has God been doing to prep you for this stage and the next stage of your life? Now, you'll notice the last sequence I showed up there was different than the previous sequences. Every other sequence went forward. The last sequence went forward and then take a step back. There are times in our lives where we might think, this is the will of God, I got it, and we run crazy after it, only to realize, oops, that wasn't the whole picture. We take a step back. In my own pilgrimage, I wanted to be a doctor. I loaded up with sciences. Most of you know the story. I loaded up with sciences when I was in high school. I was pre-med when I went to college. I wanted to either go into neuroscience with the brain or pediatrician. I wanted science. And I thought that was it because I had an aptitude for science and math. And I thought, man, this is cool. This is great. But when I got enough of the pattern, see, the thing is, some of these patterns, if all you have is a triangle, what's next? But if you have triangle, square, triangle, square, triangle, you probably figure out the next one's a square. So as you live life a little bit, sometimes you just don't have enough triangles and squares yet to determine what the will of God is. So do the general will first. the other squares or triangles will come. And what I discovered as I look back is that when I was 9, now this is crazy. You're going to think it's crazy, perhaps. My sister and I, when we were 9, my parents would take us on vacation, and we would do pretend church. Now, I say pretend because it wasn't in a building. We did our own church. I preached. I was 9. My sister and I would set up the little communion. We were Lutheran, so we knew how to do communion, although we used Coke because we didn't have grape juice. So we used Coca-Cola and Ritz crackers. But it worked, you know. It was the thought that counted. We'd choose a song. I mean, I used to, when I was a little kid in Lutheran church, the service before it starts, I would get to all the pages that I knew would be in the green book. It was red first, then they switched it to green somewhere in the way. Now, I didn't think much about that when I was 9. But how many 9-year-olds do you know pretend to be a pastor? Yeah, one. Hello. So I love science. Oh, this must be where I'm going to go. But this was there. And then as I got older and some other events took place in my life, I ended up going to Oral Roberts University for 2 years. And their mission of it was about wholeness. Wholeness. Physical, mental, spiritual. See, I thought it was just science, but that was only a piece of the wholeness. And as time went on and I began to integrate in the fact that my father was raised my first 10 years of my life with an alcoholic father, and then the fact that I struggled when I was younger with adrenal fatigue and panic attacks, and then the fact that I had a bachelor's degree, a master's in concentration in counseling and pastoring, what ended up happening is I did enough of the pattern, I began to realize that the science wasn't out of the will of God, but the science wasn't all it was of the will of God. It was the medical, it was the spiritual, it was the emotional and the mental. In other words, it was a vision of hope, healing, and wholeness. So that I'm wired by experience and training and personality to do what I'm doing right now. What about you? I'm not unique. You too have been prepped. And if you'll take some time through the Holy Spirit to look back and see the pattern, look for the triangles and the circles and the squares. Look for the 1, the 2, the 4, the 8, the 16, the 32. Look at where those patterns are in your life. Take a look at the tapestry behind me if it's not already up there. Look at that tapestry. One thread isn't enough, but the more you look at it, as you draw it out, you begin to see the bigger picture. And my desire as your pastor is that you begin to discover the will of God for your life. The big will, the big picture. How can I develop my relationship with Jesus? How can I look more like Jesus? How can I proclaim Jesus? Be obedient to that. And as you're obedient to that and you begin to reflect back on the pattern of your life behind you, you will not be foolish but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the pattern in the Word and in your word world? And if you bring those two together and you reflect and let the Holy Spirit guide you, you will step into the place of what I call your sweet spot. You're operating in the gifting, the calling, the personality, the experiences, everything God has done in your life for this point in time. And as you serve there, God will enlarge you to the next phase of your life. Living in the middle of the will of God is absolutely the best place to be on planet Earth. And my prayer is that you find it for yourself and you live it out. Does that make sense? What's the pattern? What's the pattern in the Word and your world? Let's pray. Lord, you told us not to be foolish, not to be unwise, but understand what the Lord's will is. Thank you for showing us that there is a pattern to your will. It's not this haphazard, random thing, that there actually is an order to it, because you have plans for us, plans to prosper us and give us hope in a future, that we can know what's called the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I pray, Lord, as you release us by your grace and fill us with your Spirit, that as we walk out those doors, we ask, this day, Lord, what can I do that will enhance my walk with you? What are you calling me to do so that I can look more like Jesus? Give me opportunities so that I may bear witness for Christ. And help me, Lord, find that sweet spot, that wiring, that calling, that equipping, everything that's prepped me for it, so that I might be found fruitful and faithful in your service. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.